So we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm just going to read down to verse 28 for the next few moments. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says these words. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. Everybody say Nazareth. To a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Somebody say favor. Come on, say it as loud as you can, even with your mask on. Say favor. There you go. The Lord is with you. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." So today, just for the next few moments, I want to preach from this thought. Favor in unfavorable times. Favor in unfavorable times. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you for this favor that you are getting ready to speak to us about. I pray, Father, whether we're watching and worshiping it online or in person, that you would meet us. God, we need to hear from you. We need your word. We are desperate. We are hungry and thirsty. Would you fill us? Would you satisfy us? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. Somebody shout favor as you go to your seat. Somebody write favor in the comment section online. If you haven't already, go ahead and click the share button, as I mentioned earlier. Favor in unfavorable times. Now, family, as I mentioned last week, the Christmas season is also known as this Advent season. This Advent season is speaking specifically of the birth or the arrival of Jesus. It's a season of great celebration. It's a season where we celebrate God for the great gift that he has sent to us in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the world. More personally, your sins, your sin, my sin, past, present, and future. That is why Christmas is a good season. Not because of the gifts that are under the tree, but ultimately because of the gift that hung on the tree, named Jesus Christ. Can I get a good amen, somebody? That's a great place to clap your hands right there. Because of Jesus coming, living, dying, raising back to life. But I'm going to be honest with you. I celebrate this season because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But I will be lying to you, family, if I were to tell you that I don't love the Christmas season because of the gifts that we get. I love Christmas. I love all the festivities. I love all the gatherings, even though our gatherings obviously are going to look different in this season and in this year. I love being able to watch all the movies on TV, all the Hallmark movies. I don't watch Hallmark movies, but I watch the Freeform movies. All the movies like Elf and all the movies like The Santa Claus, all the movies like Jingle Jangle. Great movie, by the way. All the movies. But the thing that I love the most, next to Jesus, of course, is the gifts. Can I get some hand raises if you like gifts? Anybody like the gifts? Ain't nothing wrong with it. Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. You love the gifts. Let's just call it what it is. If you go to that Christmas tree and you don't got a gift and your family in the house and everybody else got gifts, you're looking at everybody sideways like, you might try to be real humble with it and be like, no, it's not about the gifts. It is. Stop lying. Even if it's just a small gift, you know you want a gift. And I love the gifts during this season. Here's why. Because I think in many ways the gifts represent love. They represent value. But catch this. I also believe that gifts represent a word that I want to lean into today. And that word is favor. Everybody say favor. Favor. And that brings us to this passage here in the book of Luke chapter 1. Because here in the book of Luke chapter 1, God has sent one of his chief angels by the name of Gabriel to a place called Nazareth. And it's interesting because in the scriptures, God, whenever he would send an angel of sorts like Gabriel to deliver a message, the message was always of supreme value and importance. The message that God would send in the form of through his angels was always an important one. So in other words, the value on the message that God has sent through his angels or through his messengers was not something to be taken lightly. It was something of supreme worth. But it's interesting that God would send an angel by the name of Gabriel who is carrying a valuable message to a place called Nazareth. Everybody say Nazareth. In case you don't know anything about Nazareth, let me just give you a quick little understanding about what Nazareth is. Nazareth was a very small town, maybe a few hundred at most. It was considered in many people's eyes to be the rough area of Galilee. Let me translate it. It's considered to be the hood. You didn't go to Nazareth past a certain time of the day. Sun go down, oh no, we ain't going to Nazareth. That's when stuff pop off over there. That's when gunshots pop, 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 gunshots pop off. Like, no. Nope. Nope. You don't go. We don't go. Y'all know some areas like that around here. Y'all, it's like, watching online. It's like, yeah, certain places, we don't go past a certain hour. Nazareth was considered to be looked down upon in the eyes of people. It's a very poor and impoverished town. Nazareth was unattractive in nature. There was nothing appealing about Nazareth. Matter of fact, nobody said when they were trying to figure out their vacation destinations, where are we gonna go for next year's vacation for the summer? We going to Nazareth. Nobody said that. It was not up there on par with Disney. No, not one bit. Everybody had this mentality that Nazareth is the place that we avoid. Matter of fact, there was a common sentiment and statement that people would oftentimes mention about Nazareth. And it went something like this. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything worth any value come out of Nazareth? Let me say it plainly. Nazareth was not a favorable place. Nazareth was not an ideal place for people to go. Nazareth also was not the place that we could imagine and would imagine God would send a very valuable message. Because in many ways, it's almost as if God has sent a valuable message to an unfavorable or invaluable place. Goes to Nazareth to deliver this message. And I think in many ways, family, if we could be honest, we're in this season right now. We're in 2020. I think many times this year we have found ourselves in unfavorable moments, unfavorable places in life. This year we may have even asked the question, like many in Jesus' time, can anything good come out of this? What good can come out of my condition? What good can come out of my situation? What good can come out of my present moment? Is there anything good that can come out of 2020? I think many of us maybe have thought that, maybe even asked that. Why, Pastor Edwin? Because right now we are in the midst of some not so ideal times right now. Some of you have come here today watching right now online and you're like, man, I'm not in a good place right now at all. I am not in a favorable place. My marriage is not in a favorable place. My finances are not in a favorable place. My relationship with God is not where it should be. My health is not in a favorable place. I am not in a place of favor, if you will. I feel like a place like Nazareth. I feel as if I'm worth nothing right now. I feel as if the situation I'm in has no value whatsoever. Matter of fact, I think we could almost all say, being real, I could use a favor right about now. Anybody here like that? I could use some favor. I could benefit from somebody doing me a favor. Real quick online, is that you? I could benefit right now from some extra help. I could benefit right now from some peace. I could use some joy right now. I could use some hope right about now. But what I love about this account surrounding the arrival and the birth of Jesus is that it lets us know this, that if you are in need of favor, here's the good news, God's got you. I thought I would get a few more amens than that right there. If you are in need of favor in your life right now, God's got your back. Even if you are in an unlikely moment, an unfavorable place, I want you to know something powerful, family. God has something for you. Notice what the Bible says, that in verse 28, And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." You know what Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her? "Girl, you got some favor. I come here to declare to you, Mary, you have been favored by God." Now, what is biblical favor, in case we don't know? Biblical favor is God showing his kindness towards us, his love towards us, his generosity towards us. It is also known as God's grace. Anybody need some grace in this season? God, I need you to show up and do some stuff in this season. God, I need you to open up some doors in this season. God, I need you to answer some prayers in this season. And here's what this passage teaches us about the favor of God. And I want you to take a screenshot, write it down, whatever it is that you got to get it in your heart. Here's the first thing I want you to understand about God's favor. Number one, it's always unexpected. It's unexpected. When you look at verse 28, after Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, O favored one." Notice what the Bible says in verse 29. She was afraid and she was troubled by this greeting, trying to figure out what kind of greeting this was. In other words, Mary did not expect this angel to show up. The Bible says she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what it could be. She's somewhat afraid in this moment, which is why Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be shook." Why? Because favor has showed up and she did not see it coming. Favor has made itself visible and available to Mary and she didn't see it coming. Kind of like what our sermon was last week. We didn't see it coming. Just like we didn't see 2020 coming, just like we didn't see the pain coming, just like we didn't see the illness coming, just like we didn't see the deaths coming, just like we didn't see the sicknesses coming, here's another thing you won't see coming: God's favor. Because God's favor shows up in times that you would least expect. God's favor shows up in places where you would least expect. God's favor shows up through people that you would least expect. This is a season of unexpected favor. Not too long ago, I remember going to the door because we heard somebody knocking on the door and there was a package that was left on the front door and it was labeled to me and my wife, Aria, had our address at the bottom of it. And we were trying to figure out what this box was. It was random because we weren't expecting it. It's like, man, I don't know if I should open this or call the police department right now, you know? Somebody just come and leaves a strange box in front of our front door. And I was trying to figure out, man, who was it? And we were asking each other, like, man, like, was somebody sending you something? Like, no, nah. Was somebody sending you something? Like, no, nah. All right, well, who's it from? Because it didn't have, like, a return address on it. And that made it real suspicious. This is in the middle of a pandemic, so it's like, I don't know what's going on. And we go to open up the box, and we open it up, and we open up another box. It was just all these layers of boxes on the inside of it. And then we finally get to what was actually in the box, and it was a customized Black Panther citizen watch. I said, well, bless the Lord. I believe this got my name on it. And we were still trying to figure out who it was from, and we were looking for the label, and finally found a note from a good friend of ours. And it said, "I just wanted to bless you just to tell you how good of a friend you are to me." I said, well, thank God for this favor. I didn't see it coming. And I believe that you are in a season right now where God has some stuff coming your way that you would not see coming on a perfect day. I believe that God has some things coming your way that you did not plan for. I believe that God has some stuff in store for you, not just towards the end of this year, but in 2021 that you did not expect. I believe that God has blessings upon blessings and favor upon favor that you did not see coming. There are some things right now in your life that God has in store for you that you didn't see coming. Just as you didn't see the challenges coming, you ain't seeing the favor coming either. And I hear God speaking to many of us in here today. I know you've been so focused on the challenges of life. I know you've been focused on all the difficulties of life. But what I want you to understand is if I allowed you to go through it, it's because I got some favor for you to experience in the midst of it. I know that you have sown in tears, the Bible says. But there's coming a time where you're going to reap in joy. I know you've been weeping and I know you've been crying. But the Bible is true. Weeping may endure for nights. But joy is coming. Joy is coming, and it may come at a time that you don't expect, but it's coming. It's unexpected. And sometimes what we see with the favor of God, It's quite often, I want you to write this down. Favor often shows up in unfavorable times. Think about it like this. You don't go to ask somebody for a favor unless you actually need it. And God recognizes your need. And he sees that you need favor. He says, and I'm sending favor. Here's another thing I want you to understand about this text that teaches us about God's favor, is that it is unearned. Because when you look at this conversation that Gabriel and Mary have, look at verse 30 and what it says. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." But there's nowhere in the scripture that tells us that Mary did anything to earn the favor of God. There was nothing in this passage of scripture that tells us that Mary worked for the favor of God, that she prayed her way to get the favor of God, that she earned the favor of God. The Bible doesn't tell us that Mary was perfect, so she deserved the favor of God. No. The angel just simply shows up and says, "You are favored." And she's probably trying to figure out, but I haven't done anything to deserve it. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the favor of God is not something that you earn. It's a free gift that you receive. God showing you and I favor is not based upon us. It's based upon him. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if y'all got it. God showing us favor is not based upon us. It's always based upon him, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his patience, his peace. Thank God it is. Because if us receiving the favor of God was predicated based upon what we did, we would never receive it. So this is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you are saved by grace through faith. Not by works. In other words, there was nothing that you did to earn it. You only received it by faith. In other words, you didn't qualify for this. In other words, you didn't put in an application for this. In other words, you didn't have enough degrees for this. Remember, I want you to understand something about Mary. Mary was, she wasn't poor. She was po. Po. There's a difference between poor and po. Poor says, you know, I don't really have a whole lot, but I got enough to get by. Poe says, I ain't got nothing at all for real. Preacher joke says, she was so broke she couldn't afford the last O and the R. I wouldn't say that. That's a corny preacher joke, but I just said it, you know. Poe. Somebody say Poe. Remember, Mary was in Nazareth. She didn't come from a rich family. On the surface, there was nothing that would reveal that she was deserving of this favor. But that's the beauty of God's favor. It's that it's unearned and we do nothing to deserve it. Let me help you understand something about the favor of God. It is God giving you something that you did not earn. It is God giving you something that you did not work for. It is God giving you something that you don't deserve. The favor of God is God extending his kindness to you in ways that not only did you not expect, but in ways that you did not work for. Let me just kind of swoop down because I don't know if we're getting it. Some of you are working jobs right now that you did not deserve. Oh, I'll wait. That wasn't good enough. Some of y'all are living in houses that you know good and well you should not have qualified for. Some of you have made it to December the 13th after all the stuff that you've gone through this year, and the only reason you made it was not because you were a creative genius, it was because of the creative genius and favor of God. It is because of his favor. It's because God is good, not us. That's what the Bible says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory. Because when you really take inventory of the things that you have in your life, tangible or not, you should be able to say, God, I ain't worked for that, but you did it anyhow. I remember when I was in college, there were some classes that I did not study for. And by the grace of God, I made it out. Me and my wife was talking the other day, and we were talking about different grades that we got in college and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, a D, I mean, it's not an F, but that's failing in my eyes. I said, girl, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how the favor of God worked in my life. That D allowed me to be not on probation the next semester. Thank God for his favor, because I ain't studied for the class, but still made it. Deserved the F, but got a D. I will praise God for that all day long. That is the favor of God at work. There are so many things that you and I have in our life that we did not earn and did not work for. And I believe if I were to pass the microphone around to all of us in here and ask us online to share, I believe that many of you got stories right now about how God looked out for you and you did nothing to deserve it and earn it. Come on, can we take like a 5-second praise break and praise God for all the stuff that you got and all the things that God has done for you that you did not earn? So when we say stuff like, may his favor be upon you, that's what we're talking about. That you are walking in stuff that you know good and well you shouldn't be in. Anybody ever walked into a gathering and walked into a party and walked into an event and you looked around, you're like, I don't even know how I ended up here. People in here got all types of pedigrees. Like, I rode here on a bus and an Uber. How did I make it here? Because of favor of God. When the angel comes to Mary, she's so confused by it, more than likely because, well, I didn't do anything to deserve it. That's what makes it favor. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. And I don't know about you, I'd rather have the results of God's favor than the results of my work. Because God is able to do things that I can't do. God is able to get me in places and get me in spaces that I cannot finesse my way into. That's the favor of God. The favor of God on your life is when everybody else deserves this promotion and they got this degree and that experience and you just came on a job, but all of a sudden you leapfrogged everybody. How in the world can you explain that but the favor of God? Amen. Amen. How did you get this job? Girl, I don't even know. Bro, how you get this promotion? Bro, let me tell you, I'm still trying to figure it out. Favor. That's what we need in this season. That's what the Christmas season is about. It's about God showing favor to us. Him showing kindness to us. Him showing grace to us. You know, our kids got this running thing theme in the house where we'll do something really nice for them. We'll go above and beyond. And let's just say they've been wilding out all day or all week long. And our daughter, Aubrey, specifically, she'll be like, Daddy, you guys did this nice thing for us and we didn't even deserve it. Like, you doggone right you didn't. But had it not been for the Lord on your side, through the form of your daddy and your mama, you got this ice cream. And we see that on a small level, but God is trying to help us understand that on a larger level in your life. Man, what you need is not more accolades. What you need is not more followers on Facebook and on Instagram. What you need is not more resources in the bank. What you need is more favor. That's it. Why? Here's the third point. Because God's favor, write this down, is unending. It is not only unexpected, it is not only unearned, it is also unending. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 31. Notice what Gabriel tells Mary. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Watch this here. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Everybody say forever. And his kingdom will have no end. What does this show us? It shows us that the favor of God expressed through Jesus has no end. Let me say it like this for those of us who ain't getting it. There is no cap to the favor of God. It keeps going and going and going. When we sang that song, in 1,000 generations, and your family, and your family, and their children, and their children. It is the favor of God that never runs out. Other things run out. Target and Walmart and Lidl and Aldi and Food Lion run out of toilet paper. But you never have to worry about the kingdom of God running out of favor. Because he is endless. It is a part of his nature. God himself is inexhaustible, theologians call him. Which means there's never an end to our God. And what does this mean? For you and for me, it means that God's favor towards you will never stop. I don't know if you heard what I just said. The favor of God towards you will never stop. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know the stuff that I've done. You don't know the dirt that I've done. Remember what I told you. His favor is not based upon your behavior. His favor is based upon his goodness. and he extends grace and favor to you in spite of all the grimy stuff that you and I have done. Let's just be honest and call a spade and keep it 100 and keep it a buck. For the past 9 months, let's just be real. All of us in here have not necessarily been ideal saints for the past 9 months. Oh, y'all gonna get real saved on me today. Come on, some of you who are watching online, you know good and well over the past few 9 months, you know, hey, I've done some things and said some things that were not in the word of God or a part of the will of God. I spoke in other tongues. Oh, I love how y'all just came and want to be saved today. If I were to just go do an investigation on your Facebook. But God, in spite of what I said, in spite of what I did, he still extends favor. Why? Because his favor is not based upon my behavior. His favor is not based upon my things that I do and say. It's based upon his character, and it never ends. It never runs out. So I hear God saying today, you need some favor, come to me. I got you. It doesn't mean that God condones our behavior, but it means when we understand his favor and his grace, it should cause us to respond to it appropriately. And what Gabriel's trying to help Mary understand here is that this favor in the form of Jesus will never run out. His rule and his reign will always be. What does this also mean for you? That God's favor towards you will never stop no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you are, no matter your color, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your background, it will follow you. It will follow you. God's favor is like that little kid that just follows you everywhere. Y'all don't believe me? This is what David says in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In other words, God says, there's nothing you could do to get away from my favor. My favor is going to follow you every single day. When you go to the club, he's still with you. Even in this pandemic. Clubbing with a mask on. He says, my favor's still there. When you get into work, my favor's still there. When you do some things you shouldn't do, my favor's still there. When you go some places you shouldn't go, my favor's still there. When you step outside of my word, my favor is still there. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Why? Because God's favor does not end. It is endless. It is infinite. Thank God that his favor does not end with the things that I do and don't do. I need his favor. You need his favor. Mary is beginning to understand this picture that God's favor never runs out, is that it's inexhaustible. Here's another thing I want us to understand about God's favor, is that it is unlimited. Notice what Gabriel tells Mary. After she responds, all that he says, notice what Mary says in verse 34. How can this be? In other words, how you gonna do that, God? So hold on, you saying I got favor on my life, and that favor is going to be manifested in the form of me being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give birth to a child, and I'm going to name him Jesus. I have not had any type of relations with a man, she says. How you going to do that? How you going to make a way? And I think many of us have asked that same question in this season. How, God? How you going to do this? How you going to open up a door? I looked at my bank account. I looked at my bills. How, God? Anybody ask how in this season? How you gonna do it? How? How is this gonna work out? How is that gonna work out? My family member is on dialysis. My family member is dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. How you gonna work this out? I lost a friend. I lost a family member. How am I gonna make it through this season? And notice what the angel Gabriel tells her. He says, listen, in the midst of everything, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. He even gives an example in the form of Elizabeth. He says, check out your relative Elizabeth. She kind of up there in age. She old. And yet, she was said not to be able to conceive and give birth, but yet she is 6 months pregnant. If I could open up her womb and defy all the odds of society and science and medical experts, if I could do that, do you not think that I'm able to do this as well? And I hear God speaking to many of us in here today, because some of us have come to God with the proverbial question, God, how? How are you going to do that? And I hear God saying, check my track record. Pull my receipts, fam. Look at what I've done. Start here. Look in Genesis. I put the sun in the sky. I put the moon there. I put stars there. Matter of fact, I think I created you from nothing. You want to keep going? Remember my God by the name of Moses when I told him to go set the people free? What did I tell him to do? I told him, go speak to the Red Sea. Put your arms up. Raise them in air. Keep them right there like DJ Khaled talks about. And I split that sucker in half. And people walk by on dry ground. You need more proof? You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they got thrown into the fiery furnace? Then Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and there was a fourth person in there even though they only threw three. Who you think was in there with them? Me. You need more proof? Do you remember my God by the name of Jonah who was actually going against my will and said, I'm not going to go preach to the people of Nineveh? And then I caused a whale to come up out of the sea and swallow him whole, but yet he did not die and he stayed in the well for 3 days. Who you think did that? Oh, you need some New Testament proof? You go to the New Testament. Do you remember when my son Jesus, after he would grow 33 years of ministry, and there was 5,000 people, and they were hungry, and they were fed, and the disciples came and said, we only got 2 fish and 5 loaves. How are we going to feed them? And Jesus said, send them now, bring them here to me. And I fed each and every last one of them, and there was leftovers afterwards. Check my track record. Oh, if that's not good enough for you, why don't you look in your own life? Because many of you have said, there's no way I can see myself making it out of this. You said that 5 years ago, but yet you're still here. I don't see a way forward, but yet you made it out. I don't see how this is going to happen, but yet it did happen. I can do all things because I have all power. My favor is not only unending, it is unlimited. There is nothing the Bible says that's too hard for God. Things that you thought weren't possible through the power of God is possible. God is able to bless and do the unthinkable, watch this, in the unfavorable. So I know many of us who are here and watching online, you find yourself in an unfavorable moment. If you're like me, there's been plenty of times this year where I've said, man, can 2020 just be done? Can we just get to next year? And one time I was in prayer and I found myself just kind of, you know, almost kind of, you know, spiritually wishing it away. Lord, if you could do something about this year, but not my will. You know, you had to be respectful. Not my will, Lord. Even though it is my will. Yeah. And God spoke to me through a scripture in Psalm 65:11. I want to give it to you. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. I love that New King James Version word. Drip. Somebody say drip. In other words, it's like God saying, with my favor, you come through dripping. Some of y'all didn't get that. It's okay. You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. God is saying to you today, when you have my favor, you have everything that you need. And I know you want to cast off 2020, but I've crowned the year with my goodness. I've surrounded 2020 with my goodness and with my mercy, and with my love, and with my faithfulness, and with my grace, and with my favor. I've crowned it all. So this is how I can make all things work out for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Because I've already surrounded the year 2020 with all of its mess, all of its stress, all of the hostility, all of the racial inequities, all of the political division. I've surrounded it all with my goodness and with my favor. And when I surround it with my goodness and with my favor, it drips. I don't know about y'all. I want a favor that drips in my life. Sometimes we don't like a drip. You don't like a slow drip in your faucet, run up your light bill, run up your water bill. But I want that favor of God that just drips. Somebody say drips. I like that word today. I need a favor that is constant. I need a favor that drips. Why? Because God's favor makes the impossible possible. If you find yourself in an impossible moment right now, I want you to understand, if you allow the favor of God to step into your life, watch how God begins to turn that thing around. It may not be turned around in the way that you want, but it will always be turned around for his glory and ultimately for your good. And notice what Mary says in response. Verse 36, 38. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. I want you to understand what Mary has done. I'm closing with this thought. Notice what she's doing here. She says, I believe and receive everything that you've done and that you've said. But here's what she's also acknowledging. I'm favored. By her saying what she said to the angel, she has now come into agreement that she's favored by God. And I believe some of us need to hear that today. And I believe God sent me on assignment and gave me this word for us to hear this week online and in person. He sent me to tell you these few words. You are favored. You are favored. Matter of fact, I don't think it's good enough for me to say it. I need you to say it to yourself and say it out loud. I am favored. Come on, say it one more time. I am favored. The favor of God is on your life. The mercy of God is on your life. The love of God is on your life. The grace of God is on your life. Somebody say, I'm favored. You're not favored because you're most talented. You're not favored because you're good. You're not favored because you have all the money, because of all the followers on social media. You are favored because God is with you. His presence is his favor. His grace is his favor. His love is his favor. His mercy is his favor. This is why we say in this season, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you remember what the angel said to her? Greetings, O favored woman, the Lord is with you. I'm favored because of God being with me. Some of you have gone through this season and you have felt alone. You have felt isolated from people and from your normal routines, and you have fallen into this trap of thinking, man, I'm alone. But God is saying, no, I'm with you. I have favored you. I am with you. I have not abandoned you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But God, it feels like you have left my marriage. No, I'm still here. But God, it feels like you have left my life. No, I'm still here. But God, my life right now does not look favorable. There's nothing pleasant about my life. It's painful. It's ugly. It's messed up. But God is saying, I am still here. I haven't gone anywhere. I need you to get this in your heart. You are favored by God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, you have this anointing from the Holy One. You have been anointed, family. You have been favored by God. And I know 2020 has done a number on all of us in some way. And I know maybe the enemy's noise has been getting a lot louder. And a lot of the lies that he's been speaking in your life, maybe we have digested. I'm not this, and I'm not that. I'm not forgiven, and I'm not loved. That I'm not worthy, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. Here's what I want you to replace it all with. I am favored. I am anointed. You are favored by God to do what God's called you to do. You are anointed to do what God has set out in front of you. You have been gifted. You have been prospered. God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. You are favored by God. And I need you to get that in your heart. God says, I'm with you. I'm comforting you. I haven't abandoned you. It's dark, it's ugly. But I'm here. The arrival and the advent of Jesus is God's announcement to us that I favored you. I'm with you. We ain't sing that song by accident today. That was intentional. Because we want to preach to you over and over, you're favored. You've been favored by God. You've been anointed by God. I'm here today to help boost your spiritual morale, to let you know that you've been favored. And when you've been favored, there is a way that God calls you to respond to his favor. Receive it and return it. We receive the favor. Notice what Mary says. May it be done according to your word. She believed it and received it by faith. How do you access the favor of God on your life? You receive it and believe it by faith. God, would you pour out your favor on me? God, would you make me aware of your favor? God, I want a greater awareness of your favor. May it be done. I'm believing God for this. I'm trusting God for this. That's how we respond, family. We receive it, but we don't stop there. We return it. And I think this is where God wants us to grow. I believe online, family, God wants us not to stop at receiving the favor. We're really good at receiving favors from people. But if we could be honest, we're not that good with returning the favor. I read an article this past week about how there was a drive-through restaurant in Minnesota. And the article stated that about 900 people continued to pay for the person that was behind them, paying for their meal, whatever it costs. They paid it forward. We're looking out for them. And I thought, man, this is such a perfect picture of what it means for us to return the favor. So in other words, if God has given us favor and we receive it, now he wants us to return it. He doesn't want us to be spiritual hoarders with the favor that he's given us. No, he wants us to return it. He wants us to give it back. That's what Mary did. She said, I am the Lord's servant. She is offering herself to be used by God. You've extended favor to me, Lord. I'm going to return that favor by offering something, by bringing myself to you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Some of you guys know this story. When Jesus was born, there were some wise men that came to visit him. And the Bible says that they brought a few gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. But in the beginning part of verse 11, the Bible says that they first worshiped him. They bowed down before him. They honored him as king. And as they honored him as king, the Bible says, then they opened up their treasure and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because when you have given your heart to Jesus, you can easily give him what's in your hand. And us returning the favor and offering to God and giving to God, we're here on Legacy Sunday, us giving to God shows that we really hold him in high esteem. And notice that the Bible says they didn't just give him scraps, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were some of the most highly valued resources in their day and time. In other words, they gave Jesus the best of what they had. And I believe in this season, God is calling us as a church family to receive his favor, but then also to return the favor. Because how you give always reveals who you worship. If I worship Jesus, I give him my all. Y'all remember we sang that song earlier too? I surrender all to you. Why do we do that? Because Jesus gave his all for us. And one who is generous, being God himself, deserves our generosity. That our giving is now in response to God's gracious gift in Jesus. So we receive the favor and we return the favor. We receive it by faith. We return it in faith. We say, God, this is worth everything that we have. God, we're giving you our best because you gave us your best. You extend the favor to us. God, we're going to return the favor. God, would you forgive us, Lord, for hoarding the favor, for being containers instead of conduits. The favor of God is meant to not just stop with you, but it's meant to flow through you. So when we sing the song, generation upon generation, I hear God saying, I want to give generational favor and bring it in your life and through your life. I want your kids and your family and extended family to experience the favor of God that started with your life. And I want it to flow through you. Can you imagine Mary in this moment? Like, I don't know if she really grabbed the gravity of what was happening. Like, she knew that Jesus was coming to take away the sins of the world, but I believe if she could look back now and be like, man, that started with my obedience. that the favor that rested upon me when I availed myself to be used by God, this person's family got saved. And this person's family got free from addiction. And this person's family got free from poverty. And this person's family experienced the peace of God and the joy of God. All because I didn't hold on to this favor myself, but because I returned it. Let that be said of us in this season, where we receive the favor and we return the favor. I'm just going to ask us with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed in this moment. I believe that God is speaking to many of you today. God is speaking to you, telling you that you have been favored by Him. His favor is resting upon your life. I know it's unfavorable, the situation that you are in right now, but I want you to know that His favor is on you because He's with you. His grace has sustained you through this season, family. You didn't know how you were going to make it through, but you have because of His favor. He is with you, and He is for you. He is with you, and He is for you. He is with you, and He is for you. And it is unending, and it does not stop. And His favor is able to do all things. And I need you to understand that today, because in the midst of all the trials that you have gone through, in the midst of the unfavorable moments that you've gone through, God is speaking prophetically to us today to let you know that My favor has not left you. It is still with you. Receive it by faith. Return it by faith. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I need the favor of God in my life. I want to receive it by faith. The only way you now receive the favor of God by faith is by trusting in His Son, Jesus. Jesus is the favor of God incarnate. We receive Him by faith. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. We give our life to Him. We give our devotion to Him. If that's you and you're saying, I want Jesus today, I want to receive Him in my life, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give You my life. I believe that You died for my sins. I believe You came to earth to save me. I receive Your salvation. I receive Your love. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment. And before we close out today, I believe that God is calling us right now as the body of Christ to lean into His favor. So I'm going to ask us just with our hands outstretched. This hand outstretched before God today, if you're online, I want you to stretch your hands out as well. It is a sign and a declaration saying, God, we receive Your favor. We want Your favor. God, we need Your favor. But it is also a sign that says, God, we're going to return the favor. We're not going to let it stop with us. We're not going to let it end with us. We're going to let it flow through us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray Your favor upon every single person in this place and upon every single person watching online. I pray, God, that You would make Your face shine upon them. I pray, God, that You would bless them and keep them. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Your favor would rest upon them and that You would give them peace in Jesus' name. God, we believe in Your favor. We believe what You have for us today. We believe that You have great things in store for us. We believe, God, that You're going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or imagine. So, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, would You let Your favor flow on the inside of us? Would You let Your favor flow through our families? Would You let Your favor flow through our lives? Would You let it flow through our communities? Would You let it flow through our neighborhoods? Would You let it flow through our country? Would You let it flow through our world? God, we need Your favor in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.